This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. On April 14th, 2026, 594 Purple Crosses were placed at the animated intersection of Highways 97 and 16 in the shadow of our town's mascot, Mr. PG. Each cross represented a life lost to the ongoing toxic drug crisis in Prince George, Claylie-Tanay. One of the event coordinators, Emily Christensen-Sweeney, made a point to mention that that number had already become obsolete the very day of the event.
594 crosses for Prince George, and we do know that that number is higher now. We're over 615 lives lost in Prince George.
The number 594 only represents the amount of people whose deaths were recorded by the BC Coroner's Service in our region since April 14th, 2016, when the province of BC declared a public health emergency known as a toxic drug crisis to present. It excludes those who passed away prior to that declaration. Across the province, over 18,000 deaths related to toxic drugs have been recorded in the last 10 years. In the face of that staggering loss, affected people have experienced shock and pain. A few of the attendees expressed this.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle Miller from Broken Hearts of Fentanyl and Mum Stop the Harm. Today is really raw and it's really hard and it's really sad that we're here.
My son Tanner passed away in October of 2019 from
a fentanyl poisoning. He was smoking meth and got a lethal dose of fentanyl. And I swear in my heart, he didn't know he was taking fentanyl. But on October 24th, the police officer came to my front door and knocked on it. And I went outside because I had a bunch of people over. And all I remember is watching his mouth telling me, "Your son overdosed and passed away." And at that moment, I fell to the ground and I shattered.
Not just family members, but also health professionals working in the field on the front line of care during this crisis showed up. One of these individuals, Brent, had at some point in the last 10 years stepped away from the work he was doing due to burnout. Still, he offered his solidarity as he too became one of the many people affected.
To try to heal. My emotional filter's gone. You know, when you see me in the community, I'm gonna be together, but this is just too overwhelming. Thank you.
Well, most of the people in attendance that I spoke to were sympathetic to, involved in, were affected by the harm reduction community surrounding the toxic drug crisis. That didn't identify everyone. As one would imagine, a demonstration on the side of the highway would draw in a few people.
I'm a Canadian citizen and my name's Scott Freeman.
What brought you out here today? Is this an issue that's close to you?
All over the years, I've known a lot of people that passed away to drug overdoses, and I was actually just driving by and I seen the crowd, and I thought I'd do my part and pay some respects and come here to hear what people have to say.
Looking around, seeing some of the signs, for example, one was something along the lines of, "This many deaths is a policy, not an accident. It's a war on us, not a war on drugs." Did any of these kind of resonate with you? Does that speak to you at all?
Yeah, it doesn't sit well with me how they are decriminalizing it and downplaying the overdoses and the situation. Like, it is an epidemic, and for it be going on for 10 years and still going is almost appalling to how our government conducts themselves.
It's something you care about.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Even if you haven't had somebody like real close to you that's passed away, I'm sure you know someone that has had someone affected by it. And it's not just like long-term users, it's youths, it's everybody, man. It's all of us, and it's horrible.
A poem was read to honor the lives of those lost, Again, as of April 14th, 2026, that number since 2016 was sitting at 594 people for the community of Prince George, Claylie-Tenay. And according to the BC Coroner's Service, over 18,000 people have died due to toxic, unregulated drugs in British Columbia between the declaration of a public health emergency on April 14th, 2016 to April 2026. The first verse of the poem began, "One is for each life we've lost, every one a whole story, a star in the human firmament
and a wellspring of potential cut short.
Two is the number of years with more than one overdose death per day before the provincial government declared a state of emergency.
Three is the number of premiers who said that they cared, but didn't dare to challenge the bigotry and vested interests that keep this drug war going.
Four is the number of dollars saved for every dollar spent on evidence-based prevention, including harm reduction and prescribed alternatives.
Seven is the number of times higher the death rate from overdose is for Indigenous peoples compared to non-Indigenous people.
Eight is the percent of funds from the Canadian drugs and substance strategy that went to harm reduction.
10 is for the years since the province declared a public health emergency, and we're still waiting for them to treat it with real urgency.
11 is for the number of months that BC tried decriminalization, but without putting the necessary planning and resources toward the change before caving to right-wing backlash. 49 is for the number of people who were able to get a predictable and tested supply of drugs from Dulf, and the number who had to go back to the unsafe street supply when Jeremy and Aris were arrested.
58 is the percentage of funds from the Canadian drugs and substance strategy that went to enforcement.
624 is for the millions of dollars the province is spending to host FIFA World Cup matches while they are cutting funding for harm reduction and overdose prevention programs, peer support, and housing.
19,000 is for the number of preventable toxic drug supply deaths in BC since the crisis began in 2014.
225,000 is for the drug war survivors in this province who keep ourselves and each other safe in a system designed to kill us.
Zero is for the patience we have for these politicians who justify and lie while our loved ones die. One is for the mass movement we are building to end this drug war. All my relations.
Emily Christensen Sweeney was one of the event coordinators, and she introduces herself well.
My name is Emily Christensen Sweeney. I'm the Community Action Team Coordinator, and I am the Client Safety and Community Engagement Coordinator for Sunatsune Community Health Center.
Sunatsune, formerly known as the Central Interior Native Health Society, is a community health center dedicated to serving the unique health care needs of Indigenous peoples, primarily serving Deketh and Sekani peoples on the ancestral lands and unceded territories of Claylie-Tenay First Nations. Sunatsune also invites other Indigenous peoples to access the services they provide.
Today, we're looking at the unfortunate anniversary of declaring the toxic overdose crisis here in British Columbia. It's not a happy anniversary, obviously. When this started to where we are now, you're one of a few organizations in town that are working to address this issue. You know, roughly how many would you say organizations are in town that have emerged since this issue really took hold?
Oh man, well there's so many that are currently addressing the toxic drug crisis in one way, shape, or form. We've definitely seen a number of peer-led organizations come to fruition. There's the Pounds Project and their site Two Doors Down. There's the Northern Peer Guardians as well. There's been some smaller groups, advocacy groups that have come out of this too. People with lived and living experience and family members such as Mom Stop the Harm really leading the way in this advocacy work.
Over this 10-year period, and this number is unfortunately changing all the time, I believe there's been 594 people who've passed away to toxic drug-related overdose deaths here in Prince George. Claylie-Tenay, I've seen a number of signs around the protests. For example, I'd like to try to quote it from memory, but, quote, "It's a war on us, not a war on drugs," end quote. This many deaths a day is a policy, not an accident, something to that effect.
Yeah.
Did these messages resonate with you?
Yes, absolutely. They definitely resonate. I have lost friends and family members to the toxic supply, to fentanyl, to the multitude of other adulterants that are in the supply now. One of the biggest things that we can say, and what a lot of the peers and the people with lived and living experience will say, is nothing about us without us. So that is one of the things that we're really trying to push for the government to really be listening to the people with that lived experience who are living in the midst of this, who are suffering the consequences of failed drug policy and this war on drugs. The war on drugs is a war on us, I believe is how it's said. And every single individual that you see here today is grieving in some capacity, whether it's grieving a friend, a family member, a community member, a piece of themselves. Every single person here is in pain. And we know that pain, whether that be emotional or physical pain, is one of the leading factors in turning to substances. So as I believe it was Michelle who said, you know, it's our children. We're losing a whole generation here. While the numbers are appearing to go down, that doesn't necessarily mean that things have improved at all. It just means that we've lost so many people.
When we're looking at local-based solutions and looking towards things getting better, have you been able to observe things that actually make a difference and what our community has been able to do to address the issue in a positive way?
Yeah, so there has been, we have noticed an increase in bringing peers, bringing people with lived and living experience to the tables, to these conversations with the community action team, where we're directly funded to be addressing the toxic drug crisis. Our team is made primarily of peers and people with lived experience and advocates in the community and organizations who are also advocating and offering harm reduction services and counseling services, doctor services, any kinds. We are in the last few years, I've really noticed a difference, a more open and willing nature in terms of bringing people to the table who are not maybe, you know, the CEOs and the, you know, the people with the degrees. It's the people who are out there and living it and experiencing it every day. And I think we're slowly starting to see some changes, but we do still have a long way to go. Building community, if you can sit down with people in your community and you can talk to them and you can get their story, understand them a little bit better, it really helps to break down those barriers and build bridges for folks.
Thanks so much for your time today. Thanks for...
A member of the Sanatsane Community Action Team, Pansy Nishuk is but one of the many broader community members involved in addressing the toxic drug crisis in our community, bringing her voice and efforts to the table. She felt brave enough to share part of her heart-wrenching journey with us.
I'm here because I have lost my late husband to an overdose. He first overdosed, he was in the bathroom at ASAP. When we signed in the morning before he passed, we signed in as a couple, and they asked him, do you have a next of kin? He goes, yes, my wife, Pansy. He goes, so if anything should ever happen to you, we should call Pansy? He's like, yes. And I was in the women's wing at ASAP, and I woke up. I went to Overflow, by where the guys stayed. I sat there waiting for him to come out. The last person came out, and I looked. I said, where's Eric? They didn't tell me till 9 o'clock in the morning that he passed, that he overdosed in the bathroom. They were supposed to wake me up because I was his next of kin, and I was one hallway away. Like, when I got up to the hospital, he was hooked up to wires, machines, and he passed away in the night, but they brought him back. And then he had lost his voice because he was gone for a long time. Like, he couldn't speak. He could only grunt and, like, he couldn't get his words out. I couldn't understand him. And then when I went home to go see my kids in Terrace, Eric had got the nurse to phone me, and he wrote on a piece of paper, tell my wife, Pansy, not to forget me. And then when I got the call from the coroner, he's like, Miss Nishuk, I'm phoning to let you know Eric Mark Bly passed away today, 3 a.m. And I was like, what, are you for real? And he's like, yes. And I was like, so heartbroken. Like,
yeah.
Now, like when I have people, I've lost nephews and nieces in Terrace who had died from overdose. And that was like 8 of my family members in Terrace that had gone. Really, like, holy, I don't know.
Did every one of those people pass away from a toxic drug,
yes,
related overdose?
Yes, they have. My sister's kids, my first cousin's kids, like my family. It is just so, I don't know.
What year did you lose your husband? What year was that? 2016?
Yes, about there, yes.
And that almost marked a start of losing so many other people,
yeah,
that you were close
him,
to.
There was him that I have lost first. He was my best friend, my everything, my world, my husband. And when I lost him, my whole world just got crushed. I didn't know what to do. I started thinking, what am I going to do? And then that's when I got into drinking. Like, I got into shooting, speed, like, real lots. Like, and then I drank. I started drinking a lot. And then one day, I picked up this box in Knights, and I was cleaning my room. I picked the box up, and guess what? My aneurysm ruptured by me picking up that box. And I felt cold dripping in the inside of my head. Like, and they were doing wellness check that time. And the lady that had come in, she hollered, Pansy, all right? I said, yeah, I gotta tell you something. She's like, what? I'm like, I feel cold dripping right in here. She just looks at me, she goes, are you high? No, I was trying to get high, but I feel cold. And then she was on her phone calling 911. Then she said she turned away, looked, and all of a sudden, it looked like somebody poured a big bucket of water on me. And that's the last I remembered. And then from that day up until I remember finally remembering in Vancouver, it was almost like 2 months. Like, I walked around, like, not knowing, like, who I was. I have a clamp in my head because it ruptured. And then they had to cut back here from my neck up to my head. So they cut me in 2 places. They said they wanted to be sure there's not another one or something. And it woke me up. Like, I tell Eric every day, I said, you know what? I love you. I miss you. And I love doing what I do. I love saving lives. Like, I lost you that day, but I could bring more people back, and I do harm reduction too, and I wish he were here just so I could give him one more hug.
Dealing with unfathomable loss, Pansy fell into a dark period before ultimately confronting her own mortality, recovering, and allowing her passion of helping people to be put at the center of what she does now, doing outreach support with Tsunatsune Community Action Team. Like so many who have lost people close to them, she wishes she could have talked to some of her loved ones when they still could have benefited from it.
I just wish I were there to, you know, I wish I were there and say, hey, you know what? I'm here if you need to talk. But anybody else out there you need to talk, call me, like, or get a hold of me, Facebook or Messenger.
It's important to reach out and communicate.
Yes, because we don't know what's wrong. We can't read your mind. If you need help, I'm here. You need me to smack you on the head? I'm here. Just kidding. I love you. I just had to get that. Yeah.
Gotta get it out.
Yeah.
We all communicate in our own way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pansy and Emily are one of many community members dealing with the toxic drug crisis in northern British Columbia on the front lines. If you'd like to know more about what Tsunatsune Community Health Center does, call 250-564-4422. That number again, 564-4422.
1-800-273-8222. And if you happen to be struggling right now, confidential support and crisis lines are available 24/7 at Northern BC Crisis Line. That's 1-888-562-1214. That number again, 1-888-562-1214. In terms of opioid use or toxic drugs more specifically, you can reach out to Northern Health's virtual clinic for more information and support at 1-844-645-7811 using extension 2 to speak to the substance use team. Again, Northern Health virtual clinic can be reached at 1-844-645-7811. Outside of Northern Health, the Provincial Opioid Treatment Access Line is 1-833-804-8111. That's 1-833-804-8111. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.